It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's rambling, roving, adventurous, and amazing individual and reporter. Hey, Ruth, what's going on out there?
Well, change from last week when we talked about Northern Dutchess Paramedic ceasing its operations in Connecticut because Sharon Hospital wouldn't sign the agreement. Well, at the 11th hour, they found Stanford Hospital to do that agreement. And so without skipping a beat, Northern Dutchess has been operating since January 1st, which was the last day for Sharon, or December 31st, the last day for the Sharon Hospital connection. There was a meeting last week. There were representatives from Sharon Hospital and the emergency services people, several ambulance squad folks, along with some First Selectmen. It was a good meeting, a lot of discussion. They went over, Christina McCullough, the president of the hospital, went over the reasons, saying, you know, that they felt NDP just couldn't meet the compliance that they needed, and so that's why it was stopped. They explained how the paramedic system will work. New Vance Northwell is putting in its own. At the moment, that person is the branch of their paramedic is at New Milford, so that's why they're starting at New Milford and then coming up to Sharon. But the plan is to have this branch located in Sharon eventually, this paramedic. What they need is some letters from the First Selectmen of the area for support of this, and because they have to put in a request to the state for certification of need. Meanwhile, there are now two paramedic services going coming through the area, and actually, if you count the one in North Canaan, you have three. So I think there was some skepticism on the part of this ambulance squad people as to how this will work, but Sharon First Selectman Casey Flanagan summed it up and said, well, it looks like we have a bonus. We have more than one service now, and so I'm okay with it. So
I was just about to, I didn't realize I was going to quote Casey, but I was just laughing at how you go from feast to famine, and I am hoping that every issue that we have to deal with in the coming times can be, you know, ends up being from dearth to wealth. That's all I want to say. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Well, I think it's, you know, it's a good solution at the moment. And as they said, NDP really didn't miss a beat. They were there as of January 1, still working, and they even made some calls. They were out doing some critical care calls. So, yeah, so hopefully things will work out, and hopefully we'll all be covered for emergency service as well.
In case I missed it, how long is this contract for?
I believe it's a year.
Okay.
But, I don't know. The agreement is a yearly agreement, is what I was told for the, you know, when they did it with Sharon. So I'm assuming it will be the same with Stanford. I imagine you have to renew it each year.
Wow. That gives you a lot of opportunities for everything to turn around again, too.
I
like 2 and 3, maybe 4-year contracts with these things.
I can't swear to that. I'm just going from past.
No, that's fine. We'll see.
So are you saying that previously it was a 1-year contract all the time?
Yes, for 28 years that they had to go.
28 years, Mike. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, 28 years that they signed that contract with Sharon. They also did a story on Dick Paddock this week, who passed away. Dick was instrumental in a lot of historical stuff in the region from Salisbury. He was on the Salisbury Association Historical Society and was very active in that area. He was one of the organizers of the Beckley Furnace Saturday morning tours, and there's a group Well, they're not doing it any longer because they've all sort of aged out and they're not people around, but they were there every Saturday morning in the summers giving tours of that beautiful furnace, that iron ore furnace. And Dick was also a railroad buff, and in doing this tribute, the accolades that came through were incredible. So he will be sorely missed. His history is very interesting. His grandfather came to work as a chauffeur for the Scovilles back in the 40s, and this is something I found fascinating. Anyone who worked for the Scovilles for 25 years, gave 25 years of service, got an acre of land, and Dick was the lucky recipient of that because it went to his grandfather, to his father, and then to him. And so I just neat little historical nuggets from the past.
An acre of land in Salisbury, that's gold.
Yes. So,
Dick
so
was... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so he's been living... It's off on the channel, right next to the what they call the channel.
Yeah.
So you have water in your backyard. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, that's a nice area right there. Yeah, Dick was quite an individual. I loved to listen to his stories and things, and I was kind of shocked when I heard he passed away the day after Christmas, but I guess we got to go sometime.
That's what Lou Bucherri said. Was it Lou who called him an incredible storyteller?
Yeah.
And he was, so... I think we need to highlight the folks that have made real impact on our community. And I will say I got a great deal of help from Jean McMillan's oral history she did of him. Those oral histories are unbelievable.
And they're not only, you know, and Mike will, of course, endorse this, but, you know, they're not only invaluable, they are they're almost living.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because my question to you is, so who is going to carry on the storytelling mantle?
I don't know that there is anyone.
And so what I am putting out to you...
As far as the histories, that Gene did a hell of a lot of work on those, hundreds of them.
400, over 400.
Yeah. And some of them were done just prior to her, but none of them went anywhere. When she walked into it, she just started going at these things like it was, you know, complete mission. Mm-hmm. And they're not only available as audio, but they've all been transcribed as well, and most of that's available through the Salisbury Association website.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Yeah.
I just happened to find it.
They're there, and
what a treasure! A treasure! And
the work she did was just phenomenal, and I don't know of anybody who's going to carry that on.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I talked to Jean, there wasn't anybody I was aware of. So
I guess what I'm saying is, you know, as if there are people, you know, who are actually interested in this sort of thing. Because sometimes we get questions about, like, oh, I'd like to do such and such, da, da, da. But if there are, just know there are people out there who would welcome the interest, because somebody else is going to have to do it. I personally don't want to ruin your show, Ruth, but I don't buy the, okay, nobody's interested in anything but playing whatever it's called. You know, I think there are some people out there who are and who could get to work. But that's just me.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah,
they need to speak up then if they're out
there. Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely right.
I think history has now been relegated to Facebook. That's where you learn all your history now.
Yeah, and some of that is not very accurate.
Yeah, that and Twitter and other things. And, it's... You know, and the sad part about that, too, and this is probably part of why you don't get anyone, is these are all volunteer things. All of the hundreds and thousands of hours she put into those was all volunteer time.
Right.
So, you know, you really have to be into the subject, have a high interest and a high drive to go ahead and do something, because, as I say, she would do pre-interview, she would go meticulously. She's a very well-organized person. Let me put it this way, Jean, nothing's out of place. And she just went through those piece by piece where she worked up to the interview. It wasn't a cold interview when you came in. You pretty much knew what was coming to you, and then you could move from there. Mm-hmm. But she just went through those week after week, year after year. And
have to have the drive, as you say, and you also have to have the time. So.
Well, yeah, and then when you have to transcribe and everything as well, there's so many hours in each one of those that it is almost ridiculous when you think about it. Mm. But they are so valuable beyond belief.
I think that the only thing that I want to add to that separately is if you care about something, and I'm just maintaining there are more people who care about something and are humane than, you know, perhaps our media or others would tell us. You know, like, if you are passionate about a subject, and we do have a lot of people around here who are passionate about subjects, then you put in the time because you give a, I can't use the word on the radio. And if you don't give a, you know, fine, but, go do something else. Anyway.
Okay. This time of year, we have the report of the ISIN, Don Malin, who has been doing this for several years, taking it over from other folks. It's become a real tradition. So the ICE is in now. Came in on January 2nd, and Don said, I can call it ICE in before mid-February. Usually it's been mid-February lately where the ice is in. This is on Lake Wenanskapomik. He warns that while it's the ice is in, don't be foolish. It doesn't mean it's safe to walk on, so be careful.
Yeah, with the weather and the seesaw effects we've been having. I see they're all out on Mudge Pond. A lot of people go out there and do ice fishing, and I don't know. I think
I never understood the attraction, but yeah, we have that here at Hatch Pond too.
Oh yeah, no. If you go up Mudge Pond Road in an afternoon, you'll see multiple people out there with, and it's a big. I mean, they've got lawn chairs, they've got coolers.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like you're going camping
in the freezing cold.
Drill a hole in the ice and catch some cold fish.
Yep, but good for them. As you say, if you have the drive and you have the time and the interest.
There you go.
There was also an interesting story in the journal about real estate trends. Christine Bates does the real estate for the Lakefield Journal, the property assessments and things like that and the transfers. And there's a chart there, and it's quite interesting, showing the median prices for houses in all six towns from one year to the next. And you can imagine, as you said, up. Salisbury, went from this 2025 median price was $825,000. Sharon, $702,000. Cornwall, $760,000. Falls Village, $657,000. And North Canaan, $340,000.
So. And with prices like that, you have to wonder, what is affordable now when you think about it?
Well, it's 200? Interesting you say, because the affordable houses that are being sold in Cornwall under that, the new program.
Yeah.
It's called where they in four towns they've had them four sets of houses put up. The ones on Perry Street is, for example, the ones in Cornwall that they sold are for $250,000. Now, back in our day, that would have been out of reach.
Way out of reach.
Yeah, I mean,
still out of reach.
Affordable back.
But yeah, when you think about it,
20,000. Yeah,
even at 250, when you think about it, it's going to stretch a family's budget pretty hard by the time you get everything wrapped into it. Because 250 is a surface price. You have so many other things in there. By the time you go to mortgage, And I don't know, are they requiring, or are they covering the down payments on those?
I think they're covering the down payments,
and that's in a direct grant, not repayable?
I believe so.
Yeah, because still at that, you can get house payments that are just astronomical.
And once again, I just want to say, you can't keep changing. This is a broad issue. It's not just because you change the definition of affordable doesn't make it affordable.
Yeah, well, it's all based on that whole concept still of if you're paying more than 30% of your income for your housing, you're now into that range. If you're paying over that, you're in that range of being called, people in need,
But if you're how many people in need do we know then?
I don't really know.
Exactly.
There was another interesting thing in there on percentages. I happen to note that the grand list in Salisbury, and I don't know if this is just by the inflation of the real estate prices there or actually more building, went up by 30%.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yep.
Right, and that's the thing, you know. Let's just say you've got, and this is an inflation thing, you've got 10 apples, okay? And it's a dollar an apple. I'm just making this up. So your purchasing power declines. So it's now $2 an apple. It doesn't change the number of apples. It's what your dollar will buy. So this is something that better minds than mine need to review. I just say you can't keep changing, increasing the definition of affordable, because as someone who has a lot of younger kids who will need housing, etc., and can barely afford rents, it's not affordable.
Yeah, well, it's the continuing cycle that we keep going through. Affordable housing is probably the most difficult thing to resolve, and I don't know that any community anywhere in this country has been able to actually resolve it. Because, again, as we were talking before, you also have zoning regs, building, all of these things that are layered in, and when it takes you years just to permit to build a house, that's just ridiculous in my book. But what else have we got? We're beginning of the year, all kinds of stuff coming up. We've got the ski jumps coming up in Salisbury.
I was just going to say, and isn't this the 100th anniversary?
Yes, this is the 100th anniversary, and they've got a whole bunch of events that are coming in beforehand.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the celebration this year.
They've opened up the first Friday night under the lights, and it's free this year.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's they're taking a serious hit there by giving it out. But, of course, you can always donate if you want to as well. But they've opened it up. So the first Friday night this year for the 100th anniversary is come one, come all.
Great.
Don't have to bring your checkbook.
That's nice to hear. Yeah, that's coming up. Oh, there's lots.
Yeah, and
we're starting the year, and there'll be a lot of things coming as we keep track of them.
Yeah, there's a whole host of events that go along with that, too, which we're going to be talking to them on multiple things, and I'm sure you will, too. So, 100th anniversary, that's a long time. And I always have to emphasize with the history on that, every time I talk with John about this, is that's 100 years of people who have never taken one penny in pay.
Yeah.
Because they have a passion.
Bingo. Yeah. For 100 years, that's a good track record.
I think it's wonderful. And it is, as they say, a big deal. All right, Ruth. I guess that's time to say goodbye till the next time.
That's it.
All right. Good luck out there. We really appreciate you. Mm-hmm. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving, rambling, I'm sorry, an audacious reporter on Robin Hood Radio.